Put my hat on. No.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. It is Monday evening, March 9th, 9:30 p.m.
Can I leave?
This is our last bracket rundown.
Someone let me out of here.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. The noisy thing over there is David Griggs locked in the puppet bunker. We also have.
Why am I in here until April, Chad?
Well, we'll get to that in 1 second, actually. But we also have Brian Black back with us, wearing the ETSU jersey tonight. Not eliminated. Not being cheated out, though, right?
Nope. Don't need to discuss them at all, other than how high to put them in the bracket.
And Joby Fortson with us as well. We have a couple others that might be joining us, but we wanted to get going on the show. And but as some of you know, may know who've been following us, David Griggs is locked in our puppet bunker, and he wanted to know why he's locked in there. Well, this is the reason why. It's coming right up on the screen here. It might take you a moment to read, but we did have a big announcement for Hoops HD today about the about this.
I was not consulted for this decision. I just don't think. Yeah,
It says that due to the coronavirus, David Griggs is locked in the puppet bunker in Frisco, Texas.
I haven't tested positive.
He is not tested positive. He is definitely not positive for the coronavirus. But we are not letting him out until April 6th, just in case.
I'm not positive, Chad.
But on that note,
you might as well lock a broom in here. In fact, they do lock brooms in here.
Well, we did. It used to be the broom closet. What do you want? This is our bracket reveal show. What I've done is asked each of the four of us, as well as a couple of our colleagues who couldn't be on the show, including Rocco Miller, John Stalica, John Titel, Mike Cha, a bunch of us all submitted our top 55 teams. I kind of cross-country scored all of them, and we have a kind of a consensus bracket. So this is where all the Hoops HD experts right now believe that the teams are on a consensus basis.
Well, yeah, and as a point of emphasis, Chad, this exercise is to not guess the committee. This is sort of our own pen.
David, this is absolutely to tell people exactly what the committee is going to do. Get your story straight.
Well, no, this is what they should do. The committee's watching, so we are here to tell them what to do.
Yes, so they can make a few changes over the course of this week, but the committee, this is what you should do. And we're going to start by revealing one team at a time through the first 16 teams, then one line at a time from there on out. Should we get going?
I think so. The East Tennessee State game was not considered, although I don't know how much beating a team way outside the NIT bubble really matters.
Yeah, all these voting was done before today's games. Obviously the Gonzaga game, the St. Mary's BYU game that are coming up this evening were not considered. They haven't even gone final yet as of the time we record this. There was one upset in a one seed going down in the Horizon League. I was able to make a last-minute adjustment to take care of that, though. So that we did take care of. That's the only game. The only game today that was considered was Wright State's loss, quite honestly.
Yeah.
But number one overall, we have the Kansas Jayhawks. Joby, let me start with you. This Kansas team, I think they're heads and shoulders above everybody else. Could they even fall down off of number one overall?
It's the easiest. Yeah. If people want to know, it's not even a question. Every single bracket, even Joe Lenardi, who had Indiana 11, so the last four in, which was moronic. I agree with Archie Miller. Kansas is clearly so far ahead, and no matter what metric you like, they are so far ahead. It's not a question. Just sleep on it. What we have here is exactly what will happen, regardless of what happens in the Big 12 tournament.
Even if they lose their quarterfinal game.
Yes, they are set for number one overall. It ain't close. Yeah.
Number two overall was close. It was a very close call between two teams. Brian, the pick ended up going to a team that's playing right now, and actually in a game with San Francisco as we record this, but the Gonzaga got number two overall.
Okay.
Do you think they deserve it?
I mean, I think either putting them two or three is fine. They're going to be a one seed out west. So, to me, I mean, as far as second or third overall, I'd say it's really splitting hairs.
You know, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, does it?
No, it really doesn't. I mean, they're going to be a one seed out west. So, I mean, they definitely deserve it.
David, the other team that was right there even with them was Baylor, who ended up getting number three overall by some margins.
And four now, I looked at this pretty closely. Baylor was still on my one line. I think they were my fourth overall. The one hang up on them, and it is a small one, is just some of the losses to teams outside the bubble. But all in all, I still think that they belong on the one line, either as the third or the fourth team. So
the big surprise, and for the first time in a long time, we actually may have a debate on who the fourth one seed is, and it ends up going to probably the team that you would think it would have gone to here. It does end up going to the Dayton Flyers, who move up to the one line. I know that might be a little bit, you know, you've got, I think, two other teams, though, Joey, in play for this, both Florida State and San Diego State, along with Dayton, don't we?
Yeah, I think San Diego State blew their chance. And you know what? And a little bit of – and they're done for the season until the tournament. Yeah. But this – and actually, San Diego State might like it this way because I think I know where they're going to wind up on our board. So it's kind of everybody wins in a lot of ways on a close one for Dayton. I agree that it's Dayton. But – and this is the big but – Dayton will not get a big bump if they plow through the Atlantic 10 tournament. If Florida State pulls the double, even in a down ACC, but remember, there are three legitimate high seed teams other besides Florida State in the ACC. They pull the double. In my opinion, Florida State has a darn good argument to pass Dayton at that point.
They get a win over Duke and then over either Louisville or Virginia in the championship game is what you're really talking about, along with the
realistically. But if a random NC State type team climbs in, it's you know, fine too.
Yeah,
this is my thing with Dayton, Chad, and I did not have them on the one line. I think that might be one of the reasons it was close. I don't even know if I had them on the top of the two line. I like this team a lot, but the one thing I can't get past is, when you look at the teams as we go down the seed list on the 4, on the 5, on the 6, on the 7, and even some on the 8, they will almost all have a win against someone in the top half of the bracket. Dayton doesn't. Is it playing against them or saying that I'm being unfair by not putting them on the 1 line? Well, I mean, I put them ahead of teams on the 7 and 8 line that had better – that topped out a little higher. I think they're really good. Had they beaten just Colorado, a game that they almost won, I would have felt a lot better about putting them up here. But there's something about giving a one, not just to a team that hasn't beaten a protected seed on the road, but not beaten a protected seed at all, but arguably won't beat a single first ballot team.
David, that's exactly where I think what Joey just said will come into play here, where Florida State, they win that ACC tournament. Maybe even a case if they just pick up one win and make it to the ACC finals, one win over a Duke or something, there's going to be an argument there. Number five overall is not going to be Florida State, actually. Brian, right now it is San Diego State, who gets probably the advantage of being able to say Los Angeles now, right?
Absolutely. San Diego State, and this is pretty much what I expected, is Gonzaga and San Diego State to be the one and the two out west. And I think that if we were the committee, I think this feels like the logical move here. San Diego State, just a couple of conference losses. So I feel like they definitely deserve to be the two out west.
A
bit of a surprise here. Villanova comes in number six overall, not Florida State. Is this another team that may have a shot moving up to the one line?
Arguably, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about winning the Big East tournament, they will have a case. I don't think they get all the way up there. Honestly, I think Gonzaga locks it up tonight. It almost doesn't matter.
No, I'm talking about getting to the one line. I'm talking about getting that Dayton spot.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I guess what I was getting at is that, is a spot even going to open up on the one line? Because you're talking about jumping over San Diego State, who's already done, and a Dayton team that probably isn't going to lose in the A-10 tournament.
Ryan, number seven overall, I believe we're looking in the South region here, if I remember correctly, and that is that Florida State team. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't quite agree with David. I think both these teams, Villanova and Florida State, still have a shot at that one line. Do you agree?
I do. Florida State runs the table, and if they win the ACC tournament, I think they deserve a one seed personally. I think they should replace Dayton on the one line if that ends up happening. As it stands now, if they don't win the ACC tournament, then I think a two seed is fair. Flip-flopping them with, Villanova, in terms of their spot on the bracket, I don't think it really, matters. I just think they deserve to be on the two line right now. But they could definitely get to the one.
Right.
I will say this, if the chalk holds, which it never does, I love these Elite Eight games. I love that one too.
There it is, Joby Creighton coming in number eight overall, the top seed in the Big East.
I think there is an argument, and you'll see him in the three line, I'm sure. There is an argument if Kentucky blows through, because that was an impressive comeback against Florida.
Yeah.
Florida had him dead to rights, but Kentucky showed some grit without Hagans, with foul trouble. I actually would probably, even though Creighton is the one seed, I mean, they tied, so it's not like you go, oh, they won the Big East, they tied. Still gets a lot of credit because the Big East is very good, but I think their tournament, the Big East tournament and the SEC tournament, will determine who the eight is. And boy, wouldn't that be fun if all of a sudden you're dealing with Kentucky, Kansas again.
Let me say this, Joby. I mean, you mentioned, in a sense, it was impressive that they came back and beat Florida. But as far as overall merit goes, all they really did was beat a team that if you're a protected seed, you should beat. And, you know, you could just as easily say, why the hell did they fall behind by that much
David, I'm going to take issue with you.
Didn't play.
David, I mean, I'm taking issue with you there. Absolutely. Like Joby said, the best player didn't play. It was a road game, a tier 1A game. I don't say you should win that game.
Was fouled out.
Okay, it still doesn't top their resume out over at Villanova, at Seton Hall, Texas Tech Neutral, at Marquette. State,
Louisville. I mean,
at home. None of those teams are in yet. Creighton's, you know, done more.
The team that's in. Yeah, and we're about to have one of the neutral site win that Kentucky got coming in on the three line. I'll be shocked if they're not. Yeah.
I think the one thing Kentucky. Exactly. You can't ignore what happened way down here.
Yeah. And that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, I think that they're good enough that you can ignore it a little bit. But if it comes down to a tiebreaker between two teams that are that close, I think that's when the Evansville game comes into play.
Mm-hmm. I think a double in the SEC. I mean, Kentucky probably needs that double in the SEC, but I think a double in the SEC, even though the SEC isn't the Big East, I think does hold more weight if Creighton cannot win the Big East tournament. Well, and if Villanova wins it, it's not like it's an embarrassment for Creighton, but I think I'd still give it to Kentucky in that case.
Well, yeah, the thing is Creighton can beat a protected seed and not win the Big East tournament, whereas Kentucky can't really do that.
If Kentucky loses, they don't have much of an argument over a Big East team that doesn't lose to Georgetown or something. Okay.
Yeah. Let's take a look at number nine overall. Let's go into the three line here. And Michigan State, the team that Joby was just mentioning, is one of the teams that Kentucky did beat there, coming in at nine overall and playing such good basketball right now. Brian, Michigan State clearly has recovered from some early and midseason woes, haven't they?
Yeah. That win against Ohio State was very impressive. I think they're sitting pretty. If they run the table in the Big Ten tournament, who knows? I don't know if they can sneak up to the two line. I think it'd be tough, but I think they're pretty solidly locked in as a three seed there.
Right, yeah. And number 10 overall, David, we have Seton Hall, the third Big East team, actually.
Yeah, and how about the Big East putting three teams in the top 10 of the seed list, three protected seeds, and I think all of them warranted. I do find it funny that they sort of inflated each other's records by all beating each other on the road. That's sort of amazing how that happened. But still, you know, this is a good Seton Hall team. And for a while, it looked like they were going to lock up the Big East. They kind of fell behind there a little bit. If not, like if they win those last two games, are we talking about them as the fourth number one right now? We probably are. Yeah.
I agree, David. I'm high on the Seton Hall team as a team. They just didn't complete the job, as you say.
Yeah.
Well, we have Mike Cha joining us. Mike, are you there?
Hi, pretty good.
Hey, Mike. Yep, no problem. Mike, if you see the screen up here, we've already revealed the first 10 teams that our consensus bracket chose. And I'm going to ask you right now your thoughts on the team number 11 that's showing up in the East region, Kentucky, a team we already discussed a little bit before we got on here. But what do you think of this Kentucky team if they – win the SEC tournament? Do you think they have a shot of moving up beyond this three line, even to the two?
I think so. I mean, they'd have to win out, and then other teams ahead of them would have to lose. It would have to be a combination of things. So, but that's certainly possible.
And we also have joining us John Tytel. Everybody jumping in here at the same time. John, how are you doing?
All right. Well,
we don't have his sound yet. We'll try to get John's sound up here in a second.
Yeah.
Can you hear us, John?
What a great show.
Okay, well, we'll work on that here. Let me go to number 12 overall. And Joby, let me go back to you here. We have Duke coming in at number 12 overall.
Yeah, and this is probably – this is a good spot for Duke. I think it's reasonable. I think Brian, his team, could make a very strong argument as well here.
Yeah.
But it's not an outrageous thing to say. Duke's preseason was great. That, you know, that Wake Forest loss still late in the season sticks like a craw. But Duke will get its chance, just as we were talking about Florida State or Kentucky. And Sarah, let's see how they do. You know, if they fall flat on their face in the quarters of the ACC, they probably give up this spot if they're there on the committee to an Oregon who goes through. But if they go to the finals, you know, three seed makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the only thing I think of is that if Oregon runs the table and wins the Pac-12 tournament, especially if they look great doing it, I could see them replacing Duke there. You know, obviously depending on what happens in all the other games too. But
I think they replace a Big East team maybe that doesn't. Yeah. Because not every Big East team, only two of them can make their final. And let's be honest, odds are someone's going to stumble unexpectedly a little early.
I don't know. They're rolling out a new conference tournament format. Have you seen this?
Why they are?
Yeah, more than. I mean, they're going to have three teams in the final.
Okay.
Round robin.
Yeah.
Here I was thinking Dave was serious. John T, I think we've got your audio figured out now. I want to go to you as we go to the 13 overall team, Maryland, here, the second Big Ten team.
Yes, thank you for letting me join midway. I was at the CAA tourney semis tonight, and I bumped into an old friend who's one of the biggest Terps fans I know. And I'm like, wow, you must be in a good mood. Like, they're looking good, and if they get to the East Coast and MSG like you have them, and they're playing a non-high major team like a San Diego State or Dayton, who I agree correctly is here, you got to like your chances. And he just, like, looked at me. He's like, beating Michigan, all it gave me was hope, but Turgeon never, ever, ever makes the Elite Eight. He's so down on his team. So while I agree this is a good spot for them, and I still think it's a good matchup for them, I like Jalen Smith guarding Obi Toppin inside, and then they can press him on the outside with some guards. I can tell you the Terp faithful are not as believers as you are.
Tytel, let me jump in here real quick since there's no, like, direction or order to the show. I apologize. I did not have time to bracket your seed list today. I will try to do that tomorrow. It was a busy day.
I'm doing brackets all week, so feel free to wait a day two. That's fine.
What I find it interesting is that we got all the way to the fourth line to seed the second Greensboro team and the third line for the first Greensboro team. Usually Greensboro goes off the board in, like, the first line.
They're just – I mean, none of the teams before were even a consideration for Greensboro when you look at who was up there. I mean, the ACC team was Florida State, who's clearly going to Tampa. So, you know, at number 14 overall, though, Brian, let me bring you back in here. Here is your team, the Oregon Ducks.
Sending them out west, obviously, giving them a protected seed right now makes sense. As long as they don't stumble in the quarterfinals of the Pac-12 tournament, I think they'll be locked into a four or higher. And obviously, you know, being in Spokane, it's going to be interesting to see that if that ends up being the way it goes, a rematch that they would have with Gonzaga if that were to shake out. They lost by one in overtime to Gonzaga, if I'm not mistaken, earlier this season. So I definitely think that Oregon, when you look at their resume, that, again, barring a stumble against maybe Oregon State or Utah in the quarterfinals, I can't see us putting them below a four seed.
I agree. Number 15 overall out there in the Midwest region. We've got Louisville over there out there in Tampa. Potential matchup with Kansas in the Sweet 16.
Nice blue bloods. I think I would still give Kansas a big edge just because they seem like they are rolling. I don't know how much focused on the Spartans earlier, but Izzo certainly has them going in the right direction, so I would not look too far ahead if I was Kansas because it'll be a hard region to get out of.
Yeah, those four teams are real tough. That makes it probably the toughest region. Sorry, Kansas, you're number one overall. You get Louisville, Michigan State, and Creighton. But
some reward.
Yeah.
Actually, by region balance and all, it all kind of played out correctly, too. Mike, Wisconsin, a Big Ten team there.
Love coming in number this 16 pick. Overall. Good job, yeah. Committee.
You know, who would have thought on February 5th they were something like 13-10, and then they reel off eight in a row and a share of the Big Ten title, and it's well-deserved. I mean, they've had a lot of quality wins, both home and away. So, this is a good spot for them.
It'd be funny to me to see them go out west 2 years in a row.
That's true. Didn't they play Oregon in the 5-12 matchup and get smoked out?
Yeah. Oregon was a 12 seed and got to go down to San Jose, and Wisconsin and Kansas State had to come two-thirds of the way across the country. So we were very grateful for that.
It was Cal Irvine and Oregon, the two West Coast teams that made it.
Yep, exactly.
Let's be thankful that Evans was hurt for Kansas State as well, because they were a dead man walking as soon as that happened.
Let's go ahead. From here on out, we're going to reveal a full seed line at a time, starting on the 5 line here. Potential second round matchups for those 4 seeds we just discussed. There's going to be 4 of them coming up here. We see BYU, Ohio State, Butler, and Auburn. Now, David, I know you're going to scream and yell about Auburn, so let's go to somebody else. Tytel, let me start with you. What are your thoughts on these 4 teams?
I think that you would be right to scream about Auburn a week ago. The fact that they had a ginormous road win is something that I think is why they're on the 5 line. And Butler, amazing comeback to beat Xavier. They had been trending downward for a month, it seems like, and they've certainly got it going in the right direction. BYU is playing as we speak. The seed line could change very quickly in the right direction depending on how things go.
Yeah, and David, I'll give you 2 seconds on here. I know you want to. So,
well, I had Auburn on the 6 line, so it's not like I had them.
Okay.
You know, I have them in this general area, and if they show up in the SEC tournament and win a couple games, the 5 is kind of reasonable. I am actually. I mean, we've been pretty far apart on Auburn all year long, me and everybody else, but I think now we're pretty close.
All right. Then let's go to the 6 line then. And Joby, let me ask you about these 4 teams that are popping up here on the 6 line. We've got the all Big Ten line, Iowa, Illinois, Penn State, Michigan.
Wow. Yeah, I'll tell you, it is a log jam. It's tough to separate them. Iowa really had a chance yesterday coming back from the dead and having a shot against Illinois to kind of differentiate themselves, and they failed to do so. They're on the – I can see this line – existing this way if the bracketing rules allow for it. But there is a team that I know Mike's not as high on, but that I really personally like, that I have a shot of moving up to this line and breaking the Big Ten block.
I know you're talking about, Mike. Let me ask you about your team here, Michigan, against maybe the team Joby's discussing, maybe his own team, the Virginia Cavaliers.
You know, the funny thing is that, you know, on Thursday I wasn't as high on Virginia, but then as with the developments recently, it's like I am getting higher on Virginia. Definitely have them as a 7.
Yeah.
There was a big difference in Virginia in the bracketing, and they somebody who is a puppet voted them a lot lower than anybody else because he did not even realize what they did over the weekend. So that kind of cost them a seed line, I think.
How could they be lower? Like, I had them in the 7-8 range, and we're on to the 7 line, so it couldn't have been that much lower.
What's saving Michigan is the non-conference wins against Gonzaga and Creighton, but if you're talking about the last couple weeks, Virginia's red hot.
Let's not forget Tony Bennett is on the hot seat. I digression from a year ago just has not sustained the success that they've had over the last year.
Maybe you should all blame me then, because I had Virginia on the bottom of my 5 line. That's how good I think they're playing right now.
And once again, Florida State rightfully escaped from Notre Dame by an ounce, or we'd be talking about the number one seeded Cavaliers in the ACC tournament. I mean, a 2-point game, you know, where Notre Dame led for all but, 19
seconds? Yeah.
And so that game was the difference.
That game could cost Tony Bennett his job.
Tytel, the 7 seeds, it's going to be no surprise that Virginia is in here on this line. I believe that they're going to be showing up over there in St. Louis with Creighton's potential matchup. We also have Colorado, West Virginia, and Providence Friars.
Good job, committee.
Thought
on
they
Providence.
Would be a 7 seed at this a month ago.
Continuing to make Kansas region that much tougher.
Yeah, Tytel.
Mike's right. The coaches in the Midwest are fantastic. I think that I like the Aztecs to take care of Colorado, setting up the great game, I think, of Duke against the Aztecs in Los Angeles, forcing Duke to travel across the country to play them, which I think will be very interesting. As far as the other two, we need to see Huggins try to get by Jay Wright and then John Calipari or something. That is a tall order. And Providence, like you said, certainly nobody, I think, even had them in the field a month ago, and all they do is just keep winning and winning and winning.
Yeah, and, you know, we're finally moving them. We were talking last week that they'd be a threat to one seed at this point. I mean, Joby, this team could win the Big East tournament and maybe even toe the sixth line.
I mean, exactly. Providence is – I mean, they have – it's what we've kind of said this. We said once they're in, I think they will accelerate up the seed list once people accept the fact they're in. It has long been accepted that they are in, and they are flying up the seed line, rightfully so. This is a good team, inside, outside play. It's a fun team to watch, too.
Right.
And given that I think the committee can easily look past a bad week in November now.
Well,
I
mean, they need to.
That's the aberration. That's the exception. That's the outlier. We're ignoring it. And then they will focus on what has been a red-hot Friar Swarm.
Yeah, and to build on what Joby said, I almost think they need to, in order to you know, for fairness, not just for Providence, but for the teams that they ended up playing. I don't know how easy this is to do, Chad. Can we pull up the Big East bracket? Because I just want to see what their path is through that tournament. Or if somebody knows it, what is it?
That is not very easy to do at the moment.
Okay.
I'll look it up. Easy for me to pull up.
Okay. Well, while he pulls it up, while we get that information, actually, Brian, I want to ask you about the eight line, which is, should be called up here, potential second round teams for the one seeds. We have Houston, Arizona, LSU, and USC. Your thoughts? A couple of Pac-12 teams in there.
Yeah, we're getting to this point where we have a cluster of a few Pac-12 teams here. I know we just said Colorado on the seven line, and then Arizona. You have them, once again, a lot of teams that are actually out west playing in the west region. What do you know? The Pac-12 getting a little bit better will do that. Arizona Gonzaga, if that matchup were to come to fruition, would just be great, as it always is. And then sending USC out to Cleveland. Boy, that'd be something else.
Yeah.
They've been a good team. Oregon took them double overtime to beat them in here at Matt. So it was they're a good team. I think they definitely deserve to be out there. And then you have Houston, obviously, out there in the Midwest. That's, once again, a very hot team that Kansas is going to have to deal with if they're to get put there. So
I'll be honest. I view this, except for Tytel's team, I view this as the nine seeds will beat them all. nine seeds are. I mean, I do. I don't like the way LSU's playing. USC, I think, they've steadied the ship, as evidenced by beating UCLA, but I don't know how much that really matters at home.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's still UCLA. Now we're starting to see that. And Houston is a pretender. I've said it for a month. I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah, Joby, I think this was my nine line.
Before we go further, Joby, do we have Providence's path through the Big East tournament?
Yes, Butler is their opening game. That's no bye. So it's Butler followed by the Creighton side of the bracket. Then Creighton, then the, you know, that's winner of Villanova, you know.
Yeah, so if it's Butler, Creighton, Villanova, just supposing, are you even as radical as this is? That is two more wins against protected
five
seeds.
Five seed.
Four or five.
Two seed.
Yeah.
And then three or two seed. That's pretty.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the nine
seed. All right. Anyway.
These are the potential to
the round of 32 teams here, the nine line.
The nine line. These are the teams that will match up with those eight seeds, the ones that three out of four Joby's already picking to win. But Houston in the Midwest, they get Marquette. Okay. Arizona gets Florida. Arizona State against LSU and St. Mary's against
– oh, my.
Tytel, sorry, I think I gave you the toughest nine seed there, your Arizona team also.
You Houston did. Gets a break. The way our defense is playing, I'm kind of glad to not be seeing Marquette. Obviously, we can't play ASU in the first round, and St. Mary's, we'll see tonight if they are legit or not. ESPN locked them in the other day, so I guess they belong here. No, I think Joby makes a good point in that I think these are very much coin flips, and I would not at all be surprised if the nines sweep. The caveat I would say is I saw LSU in the Sweet 16 last March in D.C., and even though they lost a lot of guys from that team, they bring back a lot of guys and a McDonald's All-American and Trenton Wofford. ASU is not used to playing outside Dayton, so I like LSU in that game.
And
St. Mary's does not belong on the nine line.
Well, we'll see what happens today against with BYU.
If they beat BYU tonight, okay.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, I don't know if – I think Florida is a much better team than the seed that they will get in the tournament. I actually think they will – that because they have – I think, you know, and I said Kentucky was missing Hagans, but Blackshear was out for Florida at the same time. Yeah, they're going to do better than the 10 seed or 9 seed they'll be getting. However, their paper really is 10 or 11. Pure paper.
Pacific failed to do America a favor and lost in double overtime to St. Mary's. That would have ended this nonsense. Anyway, moving on.
But let's move on. Here are the 10 seeds coming up. And Brian, let me start with you first of all. These come up here. Well, Joby, Virginia versus Rutgers, me versus you, head-to-head. There we go, the 7-10 game.
That's Colorado, a good game.
We got Colorado Xavier, Providence, Oklahoma, West Virginia, Indiana. Brian, your thoughts on those four teams first.
As someone that watched Oregon play Colorado, I can tell you Colorado is going to give – Xavier a hell of a game, and unfortunate for San Diego State that they end up with Colorado. Colorado is a team that I feel like deserves a lot more attention maybe than they're getting. And then the Virginia Rutgers game, I want to hear you guys duke it out on that one, because you know, as much as I love Rutgers, I think Chad can do a better job of breaking them down than I can.
Yeah, I think Virginia's defense would be the end of us. We wouldn't score any points in the game, and that's the problem. I think Rutgers is a real good defensive team, but we would lose this game, 35-32. You know,
I always fear playing Big Ten teams because Big Ten teams, because Wisconsin sits in the conference, it's not like a completely foreign object to them. I mean, a few years ago when Virginia played Butler, for instance, Butler didn't know what the hell was going on. Iowa State didn't know what was going on. I enjoyed it. It was they weren't. But Rutgers will not be intimidated by that defense. So we'll see, because there are instances where Virginia can go like 3, 4, 15 minutes without scoring.
So. Same with Rutgers. Mike, Indiana in here as well. After Archie Miller yelling and screaming that he doesn't belong in the bubble, we didn't really think he was fully on the bubble there with the 10 seed.
Well, they have a ton. They have a ton of quality wins, although most of them are at home. But I 10 or 11 is about right for them. Obviously, you can't put them in the 11 against Michigan, but. And that's a thing.
They can't be on the 11 line at all. But this was not a bracketing move. They really fell on the 10 line.
Okay. So that's about right. I mean, they do have a ton of good wins, but albeit most of them at home.
Yeah. How about this Oklahoma team, real quick, Tytel? You think that this is where they belong?
I mean, they've been very unimpressive, I think, over the past few weeks. I've seen them right around this seed line. And I think that if they play a hot team like Providence, they are in deep trouble.
Well, let's go ahead and pull up two of the 4-11 seeds right now. We have there in the East region, Michigan gets Utah State, the automatic bid winner out of the Mountain West. Congratulations. And Texas Tech just barely avoiding the first four, our top at-large bid above the first four, a Red Raiders team that is in deep trouble and must win this 4-5 game against Texas, David, coming up here in the quarterfinals of the Big 12.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, they'd certainly be breathing a lot easier if they did win that game. I guess no tennis East Tennessee State yet, which is
I'll get to how East Tennessee State fell into all this in a minute. I want to go through East Tennessee State. You know, actually fell in the middle of our first four, but by the way things bracketed out, they're not going to show up on the 11 line. They're going to show up on the top of the 12 line.
I'll say that Utah State's resume is much, much better now. I mean, it was like you're either going to miss the field or you're going to be at least a line or two inside the bubble. And that was a really nice win. So I could even see them on the 10 line.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and reveal the first two of our first four teams. This is in the South region. Penn State gets the winner of UCLA versus Wichita State. Tytel, I got to bring you in here because you wouldn't have had UCLA in the field. I think you had them down in the 50s somewhere. You want to defend why they don't belong in?
Yeah, I think if they were the regular season champ and not faded towards the end, they would be, but they faded, and then you mean that you have to look at all their early season struggles, because they certainly got hot in February, but I don't think that they sealed the deal as much as they could have against USC and stuff like that. Certainly in the mix, and the good part of having the Pac-12 tournament is that since half of the Pac-12 tournament is going to end up in the NCAA tournament, you might not need to get to the title game. You might just need one big win in an early quarterfinal game to get there.
It has been just such a relief. Like early in the season, once the Pac-12 started winning non-conference games, it was a novel idea. And of course, funnily enough, UCLA was not one of those teams, and that is what has held them back this whole season.
But so, you got a sweep of Arizona, you got a sweep of Colorado, and you have a win over Arizona State, and not a bad road win at Utah also on there.
And if you scroll up just a little, Chad, yeah, what I'm getting at is that, like, their losses aren't that bad either if you just scroll up just above, so tier four is not on the page.
Okay, I can't scroll up. I can only scroll down. Yeah. I can make them bigger. But, Dave, what about Wichita State? They need one more win, do you think?
As far as our committee, obviously, I mean, they're walking the tightrope. I get the sense, and Tytel's more tuned into this than I am, that the actual committee is going to like them a little bit more. I don't know why. I just get the sense that they're sort of in, and maybe even inside the first four. But, yeah, definitely another win.
And this is where everyone is going to scream. I'm going to reveal the last two teams in. The first one.
Well, we picked them. It can't be that much of a
win. The second one I was not okay with. But we have for the last two teams that Iowa gets the winner of Richmond versus Stanford.
Well, okay. If they're in, then this is where they belong. I don't know. That's okay. I mean,
You really think that – well, Brian, you're a Pac-12 guy. You really think the Stanford team is an NCAA tournament team?
Yeah, I think that their numbers dictate it, and I think that the Pac-12 has improved enough this year that Stanford being where they are, I think they just squeak in as that last team right now. Now, again, there will be a bid thief or something. I don't know. There may not be a bid thief. We'll see what ends up happening. But I think right now, where things stand, they, in my opinion, should be the very last team in just about.
And we have Richmond in there as well.
Mike, I mean, if you compare Stanford to St. Mary's, I think that they're a little bit better.
Mr. Buster. Mike, how about this Richmond team that doesn't have much good but hasn't really done much bad either? Is that why they're there?
Right. What's really helped them is that they have a neutral court win over Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, earlier on that win wouldn't have looked too good, but now that win looks really good. And a road win at Rhode Island, solid.
Yeah, and just there's not enough bad there to knock them out, but I think they need to make some serious noise in this A-10 tournament. Probably make at least the championship.
I'd like to know.
I agree.
Tytel, who's because you had UCLA out, which ironically I agree with as the missing team. Who was your team that you had in instead of UCLA that's not here?
I'll tell you my 11 line. I had this is today's bracket and it's probably going to change tomorrow. My six on the 11 line are Utah State with the auto bid, and then five at large of Xavier, Wichita, Stanford, Texas, which is looking bad, and Richmond.
So Texas is the team you would have had in.
Texas, yeah, I like that.
I actually agree with Tytel on that analysis. I'd love to see Texas UCLA side by side.
Well, here is the top four teams out, and Texas was the number one team out. Again, playing Texas Tech in almost an elimination game. If Texas loses that they're pretty much done. NC State, Cincinnati, and Northern Iowa below them. So let's take a look at all four of those teams. Let's start with Texas. We'll put Texas and UCLA up, Joe, before you real quick. Let's start with that.
Yeah, because this is an honest – I think this two teams that disappointed preseason, don't have gaudy records, but have come on as of late, who's better?
I still like the sweep of Arizona better. That's why I like UCLA better.
Yeah, they're both pretty solid. I mean, I like UCLA a little more too. But
Dave, let me stick with you. The next two up were NC State and Cincinnati. How about both these two teams? Definitely sell a shot to make the field for both of them, right?
I don't know. I like half of them. NC State.
Like the top half or not the bottom half of the profiles?
Yeah. Well, you know, NC State, the win at home against Duke, you deserve some credit for that. In Wisconsin, while it happened at a time to where I don't think they're going to get as much credit for beating Whiskey in December, because the committee does consider when did you play, and they weren't on fire yet, but they'll get some. But the win at Virginia, the win at Syracuse, when compared to the rest of the bubble, the win at Greensboro is pretty good. You know, 5-7, 5 true road wins versus, you know, some of the other teams, not as many. I think this NC State team is certainly better than it was last year on paper, and is probably better than what they're getting credit for here. Cincinnati, while good, in, you know, all the credit for how they improved throughout the year, which they did, there just isn't enough there. Houston is barely in the top half of the bracket. I'm with Joby in thinking they don't even belong there. Wichita State's in the play-in game, although that was a road win. But you know, Memphis, not a good road team. UConn, a horrible road team. Tennessee, a horrible road team. Nobody else, and everybody else is like sub-NIT. I just don't even –
And
they're sort of on the outside.
Four bad losses. These four tier three losses are all worse than either of NC State's tier three losses.
I think Cincinnati needs to win the conference tournament. They're a good team, but their overall body of work just isn't there. The paper isn't there. And I think they need the auto bid. People must have liked them. I mean, They're in the group of the next four, apparently. But
one other team I want to bring up. This is number four out. Northern Iowa. Brian, I think we lost Brian for a second there. But, Tytel, let me ask you about them. A team that, while I would love to see them in, I think losing in the quarterfinals to Drake as opposed to the MVC championship, that's why I think that they're out.
I agree.
That's a fair argument. I think that it's a combination of all the metrics being perfectly mediocre. I mean, 25 wins is great. 16-0 means you're a home court hero, sort of. Beating up in non-conference play on some of the teams like at Northern Illinois and Old Dominion are not going to get it done, which is why their non-conference schedule is triple digits instead of double digits. You can make the argument for them. I just think that there's going to be at least one or two bid thieves and some teams on the bubble like a UCLA or Texas. All they have to do is win one conference tourney game against a good team and elevate their own profile.
Yeah, I'll say this. At least an argument can be made for Northern Iowa. I'm not sure one can be for Cincinnati, not to beat up on Stalika's rivals.
Let's go ahead and quickly reveal the some of the teams that got votes. These are the next level of teams. These teams were I don't think anybody actually voted them in the field, but voted them, you know, among the top four out.
I had Purdue in. I did.
Okay, except for Purdue. But I'll get to Purdue in a second here. But also Mississippi State, Memphis, Rhode Island, Tennessee, South Carolina, St. Louis, UConn, Arkansas, Tulsa. We're getting up to the dregs there. But yeah. So I do want to – David, I want to give you 3 seconds on Purdue because you did think they were in. A team that is only – what is it, one game over 500 right now?
Yeah, okay. So they are one game over 500. They have said, you know, categorically they've never taken a team that's only one game over 500. But let's look at this a little more closely. The teams that they took, you know, Alabama was an 8 seed, and the teams that they've taken that played this kind of schedule with this many top caliber games – did get in several lines ahead, which indicates that when you're on the 8 line, another loss probably wouldn't have knocked you all the way out. They won at Iowa. They won at Indiana. The good is not in abundance. It's not Kansas, but it is there. And when you look at what they've done that's bad, I mean, Florida State, maybe a 1 seed. Ohio State, really rocking at home. Maryland, a protected seed. Wisconsin, a protected seed. You know, all of these are on the road. When you eliminate – road losses against protected seeds, which you kind of should because no one in the bubble's winning games like that anyway. Why not Purdue? I think it's just too easy to say, oh, they're just one game above 500. Well, look, they played way more teams on the road that are protected seeds than anybody else we're looking at, and you have to consider that as a mitigating circumstance.
Well, I think, Mike, you just nailed it.
That Nebraska just torpedoes Purdue. To me, that's really what it is.
And I don't think there's any chance they beat Ohio State here, and so it'll be a moot point at that. Would you agree, David?
Well, maybe, 16-16,
come on.
Okay, maybe, but the loss to Nebraska, I mean, like the other bubble teams have losses of that caliber too. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that that's a good loss. But Yeah.
All right, David. Exactly. David, look at the strength of schedule here is 40. If this was strength of schedule number one, I would understand your argument with this record. But this is not like they played the toughest schedule in the nation.
I think, yeah, but I mean, that's the overall. I think they played more good teams than anybody else. You know, if the 300 bye games are bringing it down, then okay.
I'll tell you what. Let's move on here to the.
But 12. Thank you for the time. I didn't think I'd win, but that you asked why. That's why.
Okay. The 12 seeds are showing up on the screen now. These are all automatic bids. The very top of the 12 line, which is actually a team that we had bracketed in between the first four, but falls out of the 12 line for bracketing rules. We have in the East region that we have East Tennessee State. Brian, you're wearing the jersey. They just clinched the SoCon championship.
They're doing it.
We also have BYU getting Stephen F. Austin in an intriguing game. Ohio State, Vermont, and Butler versus Yale. Let's keep things rolling here. Look at the 13 line. These are the potential opponents for the four seeds. Louisville matches up with Liberty. Oregon.
That's
with
a fun one.
Oregon with Bradley, the auto bid winner out of the Missouri Valley.
Whiskey, New Mexico State. That's a fun one, too.
And Maryland gets our Mid-American Conference champion, the Akron Zips.
Those are some fun Fort 13 games, yeah. I got to say.
The 14 line, Michigan State gets Belmont, Duke gets Colgate, go over there, Kentucky gets North Texas, and Titella, got to bring you in here, Seton Hall gets Hofstra. You just saw them tonight. Any thoughts on Hofstra against a team like Seton Hall?
Can you remind me which team will have the home state advantage in Albany for that one?
You are correct, although it's probably about equal distance from Seton Hall and from Hofstra to Albany.
Hofstra's got to get by Northeastern first.
They almost caved at the end when their opponent put the press on, but they were able to hold on and go to the championship game tomorrow. They have some great senior guards in Pemberton and Bowie, a great coach in Joe Mahalik. He's coached, I believe, now 700 games in his career. So one of the rare circumstances where you have a veteran coach for a tiny school in a double-digit seed who has tons of more experience than the Seton Hall coach.
Let's take a look at the 15 seeds here, beginning in the Midwest. Creighton gets matched up with North Dakota State. San Diego State gets Eastern Washington. Florida State gets Little Rock. Villanova gets Northern Kentucky. That was a list.
Little Rockos.
It's a last-minute substitute. We actually had Wright State in a couple lines higher originally. They lost tonight. Northern Kentucky now our Horizon League pick, assuming they can win their game tonight.
Yeah, that is a close one at the time we're recording this.
Finally, the 16 seeds. Kansas.
The lead on Gonzaga, too. I know it's there, but talking about the one
San Francisco's winning.
Yeah, so if that happens, one would think things would have to get interesting a little bit talking about Gonzaga. Maybe if they lose to USF.
Right.
Anyway, getting back to where we were at.
Kansas gets the winner of a Siena Prairie View game, the 116 game. Gonzaga gets UC Irvine. Baylor gets the winner for Robert Morris NC Central game, and Duke gets Dayton gets Winthrop. Duke played Winthrop during the regular season, but I believe
they did.
But that is our bracket, our top teams out. That is what we did. That is what selection committee, exactly where you should be right now.
With the exception of St. Mary's, I agree.
And on that note, I want to ask each of you for any other thoughts on everything that we did. And Mike, let me start with you. Any other thoughts on everything that we did here?
I don't have a problem. Although I'm with Wichita State, I'm still trying to figure out why people are so high on them, because other than Oklahoma, what other tournament quality team have they beaten?
That's a fair question. Let me pull them up right here for you. They should be coming up on the left side. They're replacing Northern Iowa any second now. They won at Oklahoma State. I think you're dead right. They did. They haven't done anything other than beat Oklahoma at home.
Well, the win at UConn, while UConn's not a tournament team, Mike, UConn was a home court hero. I mean, UConn won a lot of games at home, so I think
UConn is tough at home. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. But let me go back to the board here. Brian, any other final thoughts from you?
I would say that again, big thing for teams like Stanford, UCLA is obviously they've got to win those first couple games of the Pac-12 tournament. I think would almost lock up a spot for them if they win a couple there. At least one of those two teams, I think, is going to be damn.
Yeah, good point. And these conference tournaments are going to be very important in those conferences and these bubble teams. Joby.
I see a very obvious, huge upset happening in the brackets ahead, as we see. And I've seen these two teams matched up a lot. And the upset is play. Come on. Let me explain. Louisville is praying that doesn't happen. Louisville has had an awful time with the pack line. They cannot handle the pack line. All you have to do is look at the at Louisville-Virginia games. It's almost inexplainable that Tony Bennett teams beat Louisville. Well, Richie McKay is going to do the same sort of strategy, knows how to beat Louisville. And, yeah, the one win Louisville has of recent is the game a few weeks ago in Louisville in the Yumsir that there where they barely got out alive. And once again, had Jordan Nora was nailing everything from half court to do it. I watch that because I've seen that matchup a lot in brackets. If that happens, I really think the big shocking upset could be that squad out of the other town in Virginia.
All right. Tytel.
So one of the benefits of doing this live is when fortuitously scores come out around this time, it looks like Northeastern is up 10 in the final 2 minutes against Elon. So assuming they win, I will get to go to the CAA title game tomorrow, which will be a rematch of last year's title game, Hofstra against Northeastern. Northeastern won it last year. Hofstra has been number one seed wire to wire this year, so they'll certainly be favored. The season series was pretty close. Hofstra did get the sweep, but they were very close. 2 points in January and 4 points in February. So I expect a very tight game. And then hopefully I can get on the court and take a bunch of nice photos for everybody.
Well, I personally am going to be going to see one of our projected 16 seeds that is on the way to Dayton. Actually, I won't see them tomorrow, but I'm on my way to the Metro Atlantic tournament in Atlantic City. I'm going to be going to quite a few of the games. Not the entire tournament like you did with the Colonial Tytel, but quite a bit of it. But David, let me let you finish off the show.
I mean, this is sort of stating the obvious, but like, while this might not be what it looks like on Selection Sunday, I don't really foresee a team at least getting in at large that is not either in the field or on the board. I just don't see anybody playing their way up without winning the auto bid. So, you know, what are we down to here? About like 30, what's our 11 line? So 46, about 58 teams going for those 46 spots. I think this is it. And some of these teams, I don't even think have a path either. Like Alabama.
I think you're too generous. I think there's maybe the top six.
Yeah, the six. Yeah, because I don't see Memphis, Rhodey, anybody from there on down getting in. The other thing, so that's one of the things. And then another thing, if I can borrow the screen share here and get this to work, it is – one of the promotions that I think came out today, our buddy Warren Nolan, not nearly as much as he wish he does, has one of the best statistical college sports sites out there. He's got not just college basketball, but women's basketball, softball, baseball. And I thought
WarrenNolan.com, by the way.
Yeah, WarrenNolan.com. It's great. Website. Yeah, we use it a lot. And then, like, there was this today is you know, he sells ads, and this is one of the things that I thought would be great. This spring break with Warren, he's in the South Padre Island, one of the banners on his site. So, I mean, again, it's just, you know, what a promotion! You get to hang out with the guy himself on spring break.
Okay. Well,
Oklahoma, so it is like that part of the country.
On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of Brian Black, he had to run a little bit early. Mike Cha, John Tytel. We have Joby Fortson on one side here. We've got David Griggs on the other. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. This has been our final bracket rundown. We have Championship Week video notebooks still the rest of the week.
And committee updates. Don't forget committee updates.
And we will be back on Monday after the selection is announced with our first postseason pre-NCAA tournament show. But thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll talk to you again real soon.